Blog Talk Radio.
Marvin didn't try to be magic or charismatic and all that. He just was. Even when he sung the national anthem, I mean, it was Marvin Gaye. You know, it was just unique. It was special.
Can you see?
Galilee,
yeah. And the rock.
The man you're about to see and hear, should you be so foolish as to have just joined us, is Ray Charles.
Hello. All right. 3, 4.
I got something, y'all, in my bones. Make me want to shout hallelujah. And I want to sing along. Lift every voice and say, till it in heaven rain, rain with the harmony. Oh, let it be. Let our rejoices rise high. Turn in the south and the north sea.
Underground Radio Network Show, and on Saturdays what we do, this early in the morning since y'all up, is broadcast my mother, the great Alderman Dorothy Tillman's Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Dorothy live at this time, so all of our listeners can listen in. It should be a good show today. I don't know, I think the callers might have a lot to say about Trey J, that's Jesse Jackson Jr., and see what his situation is. I know some of you Blog Talk listeners and a fan of Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Dorothy knows how the congressman came out and soiled our name and muddied our name up for his own political game. But it's funny, they say the same people you see going up are the same people you see going down. Even though the Tillman supported the Jacksons, Junior found this as an opportunity to make his bones or do the white man's bidding by coming after our mother and his so-called aunt. Called her Aunt Hattie, just on national TV. So, but like I said, Jesse, you know, when you dig one grave, you might as well dig two, my friend. But right now we're waiting on the alderman to come to the studio and she's going to check in. I guess my producer, I'm Skyping with Ebony Tillman, telling me she should be in another 2 minutes. So what I'll do is I think I will play a tune, a song, and we'll come back in there to her. She'll be on in about, 2 minutes. Okay, again, thank you for listening in. You can always put this rebroadcast. You can find it on Alderman Dorothy Tillman page, Martin Luther King Republican page, or Blog Talk Radio page. This is Jimmy Lee's Underground Radio Network. And if you're calling in from out of town and listening online, you can check into the chat room this Saturday morning, because Ebony will be monitoring the chat rooms and getting your questions to the Alderman. You can try the number at 773-591-1690 for a call-in. Again, that's 773-591-1690. You can try that number. Don't ignore the 347-838-9825 number that's on the screen for today's show. We're broadcasting from Chicago, WBON Studios, and we should have the Alderman in. How many minutes, Ebony? Okay, because I don't want to play a commercial and she get interrupted. Okay. So we're about to... let me go ahead and put I'm going to go keep your eyes on the prize, Ebony. Then I'm going to take it off when she comes on. Here we go, everybody.
All the time I was about to get,
hey.
Had no money for to go down there.
Yeah.
So keep your eyes on the prize. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Informing, entertaining, and educating Chicago. And now, the nation on iHeartRadio. We are the talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Y'all. Say it loud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Oh, we got a lot to talk about today. Got a lot of black and proud to be proud of today. Several things we're going to talk about. Oh, I tell you, we're going to talk about tomorrow is the anniversary of the death of Harold Washington. So we're going to dedicate a lot of our program to Harold Washington. But in talking about Harold Washington, we also are going to talk about politics. Political empowerment for black people, economic and political empowerment. And what did Harold mean to you? What did Harold bring about? And how was economics? But also how we choose our leaders. Of course, Jesse Jr. resigned. And I know some of you want to talk about that. And we need to talk about how do you choose a leader for that seat, choose leaders, period. I mean, I told, I was interviewed by 2-7, some other ones, and they said, asked me about Jr. I told them I don't discuss Jr. You know, he's off the radar for me. I do. My prayers go out to his mother, his father, and his family, but I don't. And I don't know why people keep discussing him, just him himself, because he has admitted that he's done wrong and he's cutting a plea deal. So all you can do now is, pray for his family and stuff. But there's a whole thing about just keep talking about it. He said, I did it. And I'm working on many, many other things. And don't forget what I've done that was good. And he said that. So I don't know why we're going to prolong talking about Junior, other than praying that his family, his mother, father, family be all right and move on, because we got a lot to do. It'll be something else if he was saying, I didn't do this, they got me. And they lying on me. He didn't say that. So I can't get all in all of this. So I don't And you know, my audience know that I have not historically talked about Junior. He's been off the radar for me. I don't wish him no ill. I just think it's probably best that I don't talk about him for a lot of reasons. And I just hope that his mother and his father is doing better, is doing all right. Jackie, as a mother, I know how she feel. And the children. I did go over to, I was one of the guests, service on Saturday at Push. Ben had called me and asked me would I come over. Enjoyed all the people who enjoyed seeing the people. You know, people are hypocritical. You know, I hear them say one thing to the press and another thing to somebody else, or they all running around. You know, you got a bunch of folks running around here scared, too. You know, I mean, I tell my, well, I don't know, I talk to me at the table and all that other stuff. So, you know, people, that's why I say I don't discuss them. I want to move on. We even talk about it's disgusting when I look at the lineup, all these folks jumping in trying to take a seat. Because we're going to discuss Harold Washington, Black political empowerment, play some of his stuff. And what does it mean? How did Harold, I'm going to try to, you know, Jeanette filled in on Thursday. The Reverend Jackson was supposed to, but because of all the things surrounding his family, he didn't do it, and Jeanette did. So I did come on with Jeanette, and I talked about, she won't talk about Harold, so I gave everybody a long thing about Harold, and a couple of folks told me at the dinner that nobody really talk about it like that, and I need to really talk about it some more. So I'm going to talk about the pre-election of Harold and what did it take to get Harold Washington elected, because everybody tells this Harold Washington story. And half of the time, the story is not correct. It don't be from the beginning. It be from what they want to inject themselves into the process. And everybody was, whatever time you got involved in the process, beginning, the middle, and the end, it's all right. Because it's all right, because the important thing is that you come on the circle. You know, you fit where you fit. That's where you do it. And so we're going to give you an overview of how I see what happened with Harold Washington, since I was right up in the middle of it. And I will be playing, I was looking, and I left the tape I wanted, but I do have another CD that I've played for you before. I've not played the entirety, but I'll just start it over so you can get a feel of Harold and what you need from your representative. So that's what we're going to be talking about, Harold Washington and political empowerment. What does it mean? Because we just elect folks based off of personality, like or don't like. And we feel good and we don't get no good. It's all right to feel good, but you got to get the goods. Even if you look at the presidential election right now, while everybody's walking, black folks walk around feeling good, and everybody else is walking around getting the goods. We want the goods, too. You know, when you have the Latino community keep moving and saying what they want, you have the LBJs, you have G's, you have everybody, the women, the folks that just got here, all kind of stuff going on. And the black folks just feeling good. And what happens with black folks is that everybody keep leading us in these unnecessary fights. And we be so tired when we get through it. We don't even know how to get out of our surroundings. Now the big old fight is that I have to have a turf rail sometime. It'd have to be, well, the more Republicans better leave him alone now. He got that. We make him strong if we're stronger. And we have a lot of things we got to deal with. And we have a lot of issues. When you look at what's going on with Dr. Anderson, with the Indian, I got a report on that the other day, and I got to see what it is. When you look at H.R. 40, and, you know, they just stopped talking about Tulsa, and I don't know how Tree can come on. I'm going to call him. I heard him on Sharpton's show. But, and not to mention, he and everybody else stopped talking about the Tulsa, because they had a little bill in there that needed to be signed to help them, and those people are dying every day, every year, they're losing another one of them. Unemployment is very high in the black community. Our education right now, Mayor Ronnie Marm Emanuel is talking about closing down almost 200 schools, and this black woman out here leading the charge, like she knows what she's talking about. I really got to meet. I mean, I'm not sure. And what I don't see is black leadership, elected leadership, or appointed leadership, and especially saying, I need to sit down, have a community meet with my people of the areas they're talking about and talk intelligently about these schools. Don't take sound bites that somebody give you and say, Well, we're going to show closing our eyes because the population out there, then you repeat it, you regurgitate that same thing. But our representative have a responsibility to meet with the community and to tell them, also to meet with Rom and meet with this lady and have call a meeting in those communities where those schools are and bring her and the board president, but especially her and also the mayor and see what's going on. Anybody else would do that. One other thing. I think this man named Manesmo, yesterday who went down and robbed the store and robbed somebody, took a woman's purse, knocked her down, she's in stable condition, and jumped in a cab and did some other things. Wrong. They got him. Just like they got the man who stabbed the man in the bathroom. The man in the bathroom was black. The other dude was Latino or something. But my reason I say this is I heard people call VOE and tell me, it's just a shame how they acting down there. But I've not heard one of the people from that ethnic group call in and blame themselves for everything. So what we do is we just drown ourselves out. So that's why I'm happy to be here today, because I want to give you some better energy, a better way to go. And let's get ready to do this, y'all. The second district got a chance, but I'm cracking up. I mean, some of them folks that's running, you know, I can't say nothing. Hey, what's his name, the one that was a state rep? I think Jesse put him in a state rep now. And to read what he said, I've been waiting to really thinking about that. What's his name, David Milliner? What's his name? I'm from the suburb. He's a dentist, and he's over with the Illinois Public Dentistry Association now. When I read him say, I've been waiting to get it. Come on, it was Jesse who ran you and put you in office. So, you mean you've been standing up under him waiting to get his seat? That was interesting. All of the stuff that I'm reading about. The Mel Reynolds. Mel, go sit down. Mel Reynolds was the one who that they used and lied on the same way they did me to get Gus. Lied on Gus to get Gus out of office because Gus was working for black people. And once they got Gus out of office, they put Mel in. They got sick of Mel. They got him with having sex with an underage child, you know, and also mail fraud and bank fraud and all of that. And he said, I'm going to run again? Come on. But there's a whole bunch of them folks up in there. And that's because people think being in office is glamorous. They think it's powerful because sometimes that's the most powerful place a lot of black folks have ever been and have ever dealt with. And then black people sometimes take, and we need to have a really discussion. I'm not saying all of our officials. They take it as a job, not as a place to serve and build the community. So those are the things we're going to be talking about, Harold, in terms of serving the community. What do you expect from your elected officials if you want to talk about Junior and Second District? Not about Junior, because he's already admitted, but the Second District politics you can. But I'm not here now. I'm not going to waste my airwaves over talking about him. God bless him and his family, especially his family, his mom and his daddy and his children. So what I want you to do, you've been listening to the Talk of Chicago, 1690, WVON. Our number is 773-591-1690. We're streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're at iHeartRadio. Oh, yeah, we're at iHeart, y'all. We're on Facebook, group Facebook, blackplanet.com, and I think I'm tweeting a little bit. I got to start back tweeting. I haven't tweeted. I got to get it moving. So what I want you to do is get your coffee and get your tea. And we're going to come on back. Talk to me, because we're going to be talking about Harold Washington and everything good for the black community. I'll be right back.
The Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Have you suffered an injury on the job? Back pain keeping you up at night? Sprain your ankle playing basketball? My name's Dave.
Well, it's not about me, Dave. And no money for to go down there. Keep your eyes on the prize.
Your eyes on the prize, hold on, keep your eyes on the prize.
Ebony's in the chat room. You can chat up with Ebony. She'll be with you in a second. They had a commercial break, but let's go ahead and break back in to see if they're ready to come to the studio yet. Jimmy's Underground Radio. Clean up. Get it? Get it? Okay, here we go.
Help more families learn how to budget and save.
I want my neighbors to have access to health care.
Help create opportunities for everyone in your community. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Dorothy. Tillman, that is, on the Talk of Chicago, 1690 WVON.
Hey y'all, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud, I'm black and I'm proud. Woo! Oh wait. Oh, it's killing me. Hey y'all. Black folks, everything we had in terms of our music, our politics, our community was just a little different. And we, you know, when we look at what our children look at in terms of artists, you know, you some of y'all had the Jackson 5, and when and my kids, my children had other folks. You had black women and men to look up to singing. You had clubs to go to in the black community to see music, hear music, or to talk. You had, they call them billet rooms now, but we had pool halls. We had a lot of things, and systematically those things was closed down. And the sad thing about that is that those things got closed down because of black folks. Are we going to vote this dry? You know, I didn't know one black establishment where they was hanging out doing no drugs. Most of them were some other folks, some other stores. I remember this black man out in Roseland in Beals Ward. Had been out there for a long time, had a nice club of black folks, a tavern folks used to go to. We did a lot of organizing for Harold Washington. He had a lot of people. Voted him dry. Most of these folks who close down clubs and things in the black community, then you go up north and you see them spending money. And every other community have a place to socialize, have a place to do their art, a place to eat, a place to shop. And we're going to do a whole piece on that sooner than you think about why it is that folks are able to manipulate us and they're not building our own communities. It's just like I said, even in terms of government right now. We are feeling good, and people are getting the goods. There's a difference. And what you see are other people building communities, schools. They're getting everything that they think they need to build their community. And this whole illegal immigration thing ain't just for the Latino community. Y'all think so. It's also as they're repopulating these whites coming from all these countries over there. That's failing. If you look around and see a lot of them in your community, that's because they're getting the buildings, fixing them up, and moving in there. So they're trying to find a way to legalize, and we be so busy jumping on the Mexicans, the Latinos. It's not just them. You got to look at a lot of the they quietly moving in. That's why Rahman dealt with the immigration, the folks dealing with immigration. They repopulate. Read Black Labor, White Wealth of Dr. Anderson, and you'll see how they do that. So you got that going on, and see, and these people know how to build communities, they know power base. And I'm going to give you the numbers. I know we lost a Republican congressman, and with Junior being out, we probably got about 29 congressmen. I'm going to get the exact number active in the city council. I mean, in Washington right now, And I'm going to give you the numbers of how many black congressmen we have. We don't have any black senators. Every race have black senators but us, you know. So we don't have any black senators. We have very few blacks in the Congress. And then you look at the local government and you say that something is wrong here. Something is wrong. And I said last week, if they knew better, they would do better. It is about building the community. But our people began to see some power. We're celebrating Harold Washington today. When we got ready to select a black mayor, that was not the first time that Harold Washington ran for mayor of the city of Chicago. Mayor Washington ran before, lost. Dick Neuhaus had ran. In fact, Dick Neuhaus was going to run that year that Harold ran. And those who know who was out there know that Anna Langford was out there passing out her cards saying she was going to run for mayor. When Jane Byrne ran for mayor of the city of Chicago against Blandick, Jackie talked some of us into supporting. It was after Metcalf, before Metcalf, talked us into supporting Jane Byrne, her standing on that platform with that gray coat on after that storm. And a lot of us supported her. I think I coordinated Area B for her. And there's a lot of promises she made to black people. And we were so glad to get them under the Daley rule, and we saw Blandick as part of that. And with the snowstorm, when the train stopped coming to the south side and to the west side to Chicago, we said, wait a minute, something going on here. They're stopping early. So we elected Jane Byrne. Jane Byrne then got to be friends with the evil cabal, with Doniak Burke and all of them, those that she called evil. And in doing so, she disrespected and violated the black community, unlike we sitting by today allowing this to happen with anybody. But the reason, now you got to understand, the reason this time was different is because black folks had begun to kind of move and get a little active. And when Jane Byrne got in there and didn't do what she was supposed to do, we decided that we were going to kick her butt, and we wasn't taking it. Jane Byrne, I remember the day that Metcalf died. And see, our people got it really bad. If you're not around to do something for me now, forget you. We don't look at the holistic approach of building on top of what we have. You know, Metcalf was our heart. That's the highest office we could aspire for then. So he was our heart, because Metcalf had finally said, it's never too late for a Negro to turn black. And I remember the day that Metcalf died, had his heart attack, because he lived around the corner from me. He was on Michigan, I was on Indiana. And we were close with his wife and his son. So anyway, Jane Byrne appointed Benny Stewart. The community didn't want Benny Stewart. We had this big old meeting at Liberty Church. Once again, Liberty is a very progressive church. It was there with Dr. King and all. Pastor Jackson was still living there. And we had the meeting up there. Remember, there was a big old fight up in that church with Kenner and Dobie and all of them. They started fighting. The regular Democrat and the Democrat and the progressive and independent started fighting up in that church. It was really tough. And we said, okay, we'll do something about this. Well, that year when it was time, Harold was still in the Senate, and when it was time to elect a congressman, Harold decided to throw his hat in the ring. It was a group of people. Stroger was in there, Metcalf, a lot of folks was in there. I coordinated the third war for Harold. Carried the 3-1. And Jackie would tell you, he said, we can go claim victory now because we got this. I really didn't want to be bothered with it, but Jack and Harold convinced me to coordinate that. So it was a bunch of us, Ron Sappy. We all was around, and we were all in different areas. And Red Samuel Lewis, who died, he's no longer here. It was a group of us who was around, and we pulled together this first congressional. And Jim Lee, at that point, was a baby. I'm a little, anyway. Drag her around. I was taking my kids everywhere with me. But so we won with Harold. We beat the machine. You don't hear folks saying independent Democrats no more. They just slid into this regular stuff. And I know y'all want to talk, but I want to educate y'all for a moment. And so what happened was, so when we so Harold Washington went to he won the senatorial seat. He had won. He was in the senatorial seat, but he won the congressional seat. And we had a meeting at Partee. I know Cliff will remember that. We had a meeting at Partee. Now, keep in mind, we were already working. The parent equalizer was working real hard. We wasn't playing a lot. No, parent equalizer hadn't been organized yet. The Mollison parents, we was getting ready to get organized. But Lou Palmer had the talking drums where he was talking every day on the radio, the talking drums from Lou Palmer. And so we were up there in the meeting at Partee's office, and some of the regular Democrats, and Lou Palmer was getting ready to get in a fight. Those who are out there listening know about that. So Harold told him he was going to keep both the congressional and the senatorial, and they all went crazy. But Harold was just, you know, holding them back. So Harold eventually gave a senatorial seat and went on to Congress to fight Ronald Reagan. He said, "You coming to the inauguration?" I said, "No, I got something to do back here." At that point, we had found out that the whole school at Mollison was failing. It was a factory of failure. None of the children were working on grade level. We decided as Mollison parents that we had to do something. And that's what we did. We stayed back. We mobilized the parent equalizers, the Mollison parents. And with the Alpha brothers began to set up the Freedom Schools for us. They had the Freedom House across on King Drive, and Russ Benoit was our principal. He was a teacher at Farragut at that time. So Harold went to Congress. We were busy mobilizing the parents. We began to fight Jane Byrne. We were fighting her already. You remember Ayers, when Ayers said he lived in the city, and Reverend Sampson went and found a magazine where he said that he lived in Glen Eyre. And Leon Finney said, "Oh, he lives in the city because he ate barbecue at my house." So we had, and then Streeter was with a regular. We changed Streeter from the regular to the, make him to become, Streeter beat a Herald with the feeder. So we were really running. And anybody that wanted our support at any time, our question became, will you support a black mayor? You know, in 83, will you support a black mayor? That was the question that we asked everybody who wanted our support. But keep in mind that Jane Byrne was doing a lot of stuff, so we ended up fighting her at the school board with the bullying bras, because she got rid of Michael Scott and all of them, put those white bras into place. We fought there. Marion Sampson, all of us went down to CHA because they were moving toward the 21 plan. They eventually got there, y'all. After Harold died, they still went on to the development, because a lot of the black community led that fight, too, for the CHA to be torn down without even realizing it. Like they finna lead the fight for the schools to close down, don't even realize it. So we were fighting CHA. We wasn't playing. All the stuff they were doing, and we, Marion Sampson and Lou Palmer and all of us went to jail at CHA. And we said we was going to, so Jesse came and bailed some folks out. I wouldn't come out. I told Jesse I wasn't coming out. I couldn't come out without the rest of them folks. Take Lou with you. So he went with Lou. And some of us, I stayed on back until everybody who went there as a leader can't get out before anybody else. Until everybody gotten out. And Marion came when Marion left, then I came on out. I was the next one to come out. So we had these things going on, these fights and all this stuff going on with CHA, with the Board of Education. We weren't playing. When someone called Jesse on VAZ and told him, "Won't you boycott Chicago Fest?" Because we were marching. We weren't playing. We were marching on Jane Byrne Fest. We had planned to disrupt her fest and tear it up, like we had torn up the CHA housing, tore up the housing meeting. But we didn't have to tear it up because Jesse got involved and somebody called for a boycott. He got Stevie Wonder not to. And Jesse and I was fighting that year because I said, "You sold out for a toilet and a tent. You look at you'll see it." He said, "No, we're going to boycott here." And then Joe Gardner pulled us all together, and we went. And we met. And that was the first time I'd been to push since the death of Dr. King. And we met and we talked and we went through what we had to do for the good of our community to pull ourselves together to make sure that we do that. And out of that came CBUC, Chicago Black United Community, a founding member. We also did BIPO. Conrad and all of us met over George and Lou Palmer. We all started that. And I think Barbara Stock started the Black political empowerment movement, who still exists today. So that was kind of the way that we began to move, and the Mollison parent boycotted and filed a lawsuit and just a lot of more things, which I'm going to do part two later. So what I'm going to do is just play a little of Harold, and then I'm going to come to the phone, and I'll just be telling you some stuff in and out about Harold Washington so that I don't have to be talking to y'all all morning, because I really want to let y'all know how Harold Washington got elected mayor of the city of Chicago. People are always telling these stories about Harold Washington being elected. But what they do is they inject their part in there when they became a part of it, as if that's when the beginning was. The beginning was not there. It wasn't even there when we started. It started way before. It started in the 70s when he ran once before. So everybody put their time frame when it was in it. So let's sit back and listen to Harold Washington, a real black leader.
Business as usual will not be accepted by this chief executive of this great state.
The movement, in essence, deals with man, in essence, and deals with his indomitable spirit and his constant fight against those who would enslave people on the side of those who would set them free. And so the movement is paramount. And so, Mr. Reporters and others, when I tell you that no one or bodies of people will be permitted to sully that movement in Chicago, whether they move from it from the outside or from the inside, when I tell you that, you may believe it because it's true. I speak from the bosom of the movement, not just the black movement, but movements that have made man's fight against humanity to man current all over the world. We're not about to permit anyone outside the movement. I'm not talking about blacks being anyone being out. I'm talking about those outside the movement, because the movement has blacks, whites, and browns in it. We're not going to permit anyone outside the movement to stand back and throw darts at it, shoot howitzers at it, bazookas at it, and get away clean. No way. It's not going to happen. We're going to point you out. We're going to put the searchlight of truth on you. We're going to let everybody know what you're trying to do to the movement and to reform. You're trying to destroy it. We know it. And when that small band of misguided people from the outside think they can destroy the movement and turn it back to the inside dopes that's running it and have a palace for special privilege, they don't know Washington. They don't know the movement. I would hope that the magnificent Fourth Estate, instead of throwing bricks and impediments in my way, would assist me and rooted out hog and branch, that evil that I find wherever I find it. This government is sworn to reform of this city. This government is hell-bent on making it a fair city. This government will continue to be fair to everyone, regardless of race, color, creed, or sex, or wherever you live.
And wherever you live. One thing about Harold Washington was that he opened up the city to everybody. He found out the city wasn't just closed to blacks. It was closed to everybody in the Fourth Estate. The press was all over him. Like, they're not all over anybody right now. They really are playing games, I tell you. Reverend Weatherspoon, how you doing this morning?
How you doing, daughter?
I'm fine.
Yeah, what we have to do, daughter, to organize a fresh new leadership from Harold Washington movement. We have to organize groom somebody young. First of all, we got to put you together. Sometimes we so divided and come together with vision. We kind of take Chicago in. We need to raise up the young people.
I think people have to work together, young and old. And you have to work together as a community. We got to get rid of the divisiveness, young, old, any. All of us got to come together and work for the good of the community for the future.
Yeah, and also, daughter, the preacher, we got to get the preachers on one accord. We got preachers supporting Ron Emanuel. We got preachers supporting Cal Moser Brown, Reverend Meek, things. We are divided as the people.
I'm gonna talk about that in a minute, Reverend Witherspoon. Thank you, Reverend Witherspoon. Thank you. You know, one of the things I was telling you about the guy Menezzo, whatever his name, who did this, beating this woman up and snatching her purse yesterday. I listened to all the radios. I hear nobody getting on the radio talking about, oh, it's terrible what he did because of his race. They said it was terrible what he did because of what he did. We do something, we get and we condemn our whole people. But I think that one thing that Harold did when he became mayor was he took all them badges. All the preachers had badges, and he took away them privileges like that and said, we're going to do this and do it right. And a lot of them got mad, but that's how Daley kind of kept some of them, not all of them, kept some of them on the plantation by playing with them like that. And a lot of them didn't support Harold when Harold was running, and those collection places started being empty. So they had to do something after that, I tell you that. They had to do something. Hello, Jamil. Jamil, did you want to say something? Okay, she's gone. Okay, I guess they're gone. I tell you. Anita, how you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine.
That's good. Well, for Rahm Emanuel, the Martin Luther King movement runs America and not the Jewish community. This is not the United States of Israel.
Okay, we're talking about Harold Washington today.
No, I'm talking about...
Wait. We're talking about Harold Washington, and we're talking about black political empowerment in this city and what we need to be doing.
Well, I think you and Reverend Jackson need to keep that Martin Luther King movement going for justice for all people, including our people. And you need to work even harder together while we have this president in office. I think it'll be more effective right now. And I wanted to say something. I love Harold Washington. That's my hero. And Jesse Jackson Jr., I think people should give his wife credit for trying to keep whatever she needs to do for her children together. And she needs her time to do that and her space, and she needs to get her sanity. And Blagojevich, I think the Republicans wanted him out because he was going to serve the people, and he had a mouth, and he did not care what he said to people.
I think the powers that be wanted him out, not just the Republicans. Black folks feel good by saying Republicans, but it was the Democrats who voted him out of the house down in Springfield. So, you know, it's easy to make us feel good to have identified enemy as the Republican or Democrat. I think it was the powers that be, period. It wasn't just his own party who did this to him, too.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we have to deal with hypocrites, too. That is a problem. And Imam Warren Dean Muhammad, he was definitely for, you know, African-Americans speaking their mind. He was not for other nations telling us what to do. He was definitely into us making our own decisions and doing what's best for our family as a people from our history.
Yeah, that's what we got to do. We got to look at how we rebuild communities, what we got to do. I see, while we feeling good, but Anita, about this election and everything else, even when we elect someone locally in office, we feel good and we go about our business because we be coming from a position of hate. And then the other folks go get the good, you know. And in fact, even now, rather than come together with a program we need to do to fight for our community, you on the radio, all you hearing them, the Republicans mess with the president. They doing this, they doing that. What are we going to do? Let's stop this. Now they mess with Condoleezza Rice. Look, we better start looking at what's messing with this community and try to build this community, our community. We're going to be too tired to do anything with all this stuff.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, hurry up.
I would hope the Martin Luther King movement, you and Reverend Jackson, would help work on this Walmart situation so that Walmart isn't picked on unnecessarily, but the fairness to the employees will come.
Well, right now, my position is to look at our community and demand that we get a Marshall Plan and we rebuild our community. That's what we got to do and get jobs. Thanks, Anita. We got to get jobs for our community. We got to get a Marshall Plan. We can't let I said Condoleezza Rice, y'all. I meant Susan Rice. But we got to look at what's good for our community. I'm not going to let nobody tell me, and we cannot let folks dictate what we should be talking about. We shouldn't do that. Benjamin.
Good morning, Ms. Tillman. How you doing, man?
I'm fine.
Hey, Ms. Tillman, I just got three things to say. Number one, when Harold Washington died, I was in the military. I had came home that Wednesday, and the Kelly family, which is on the west side of Chicago, had invited me home because I didn't have no family. And I came to eat Thanksgiving dinner with them, and everybody was so
sad. You talking about that last week, didn't you?
No. I'm talking about when Harold Washington died. You're talking about, this is how I was sad. My family, the people who invited me home, they were so sad found out Harold Washington had died because I was coming home from the military on that Wednesday. He Thanksgiving dinner. And I'll never forget that sad Wednesday. And second, Ms. Tillman, I hope to see everybody today at our coat giveaway because we're giving away coats to all the children in Chicago. So I hope to see everybody today. And one last thing, Ms.
See everybody where, Benjamin? You didn't tell them where you seeing them at.
I didn't want to call on your show, Ms. Tillman.
I said, what are you doing? You said you want to see them where?
At our coat giveaway. At our
where?
Today. It's today. Each one teach one boxing club. Everybody was invited. We called.
Okay, I just told you, I'm running out of time. I wanted you to just get the address, Benjamin. You didn't say where it was.
No, Ms. Tillman. Ms. Tillman, say my favorite statement, Ms. Tillman.
Huh?
Say my favorite statement. A man can't walk on your back unless it's bent.
It's not bent. Can't walk. A man can't ride your back if it's not bent.
That's Ms. Tillman.
Okay. Thank you. Zakiya? Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman. How are you?
I'm fine. How you doing?
I am excellent, plus strong, black, and determined.
That's
and
what it's about.
And this is one of my favorite subjects when we talk about Harold Washington.
Oh, yeah.
And I feel so good about it because it was one of the first movements that I experienced a victory for black people. I got involved in the Come Alive October 5th. And I always thank God for Mr. Gardner. Now, even before Mayor Washington was elected, he brought about unity because, if you remember, he brought all of us together to register over 200,000 voters down there
well,
on 47.
I'm going to get to the part that happened before that, and I'm going to lead on up to it. I'm just trying to do the section. But you can go and tell me your part since you got involved
well,
in this point.
Well, the other part of it is,
I mean, I want everybody to tell their part. That's why I'm open for today.
Well, I say that because I was involved in that.
I know.
I
uh-huh.
always have good memories
mm-hmm.
about that because I registered people everywhere I saw. But then after he was elected, we got blacks in department heads.
Yeah.
But I'll just go on and skip
some of that. He did an executive order,
too. I beg your pardon?
He did his executive order.
Oh, yes, yes. We got jobs and resources
right.
in our community. And
right.
black people had contracts. And Latinos never had it so good. It had never been that many Latinos.
They were nowhere. We brought them in.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, but after we put him in, and this is the thing that I love the most, because I was so heavily involved, and my mentor was our brother Michael Wayne Smith, who coordinated just about every one of Harold's people's campaign. And
I don't know about that. We have to talk about that.
That's right. He was one of the great ones. But after
Jackie Grimshaw coordinated all the campaigns.
I beg your pardon?
But go on. Jackie coordinated them, Pep, and Jackie coordinated the campaigns, and Joe Gardner was in charge of Pep, political.
No, I'm talking about on the street workers, those of us that worked in the
street heat, okay.
community. Uh-huh.
Okay.
After we put Mayor Washington in the seat, we worked hard to get him the alderman that he needed. Remember Marlene Carter,
okay.
Louis Gutierrez in the Latino community, Helen Shillery, and what's that white guy, Oberman up there north?
I didn't work on Oberman campaign. Okay,
no,
look.
All Gutierrez, but this is what Harold brought, and this is
okay.
the hard work that we did after we got him in. We didn't stop working.
No, we didn't. We got to keep on working. Thank you, Zakiya. You listen to Talk of Chicago 69 WVU, and I'm number 7. Huh?
You move on unfair.
I think Harold Washington.
You move on, man.
This is Harold Washington,
man.
Y'all.
Man.
I'm sorry.
For the inside or outside. I hope that my words are clear.
Talk of Chicago 69 WVU, 773-591-69. Be right back. It's Cops Kitchen TV. Come on back and talk to me about Harold Washington.
I hope I'm not dogged every day by reporters, conscientious or otherwise, asking me the same question over and over again, because the answer is the same thing over and over again. We're going to run a government here in this city the likes of which you've never seen.
The Talk of Chicago is 1690 WVON, Berwyn, Chicago.
Bruh.
NBC News Radio on.
A little something for the people. Bruh. Think y'all should listen.
And talk about the victim last night that got popped. And who the best on the block with the crack rock? Play a lot of pocket banging till the track stop. It's in our nature to run into this jackpot. Hoping not to scrape the blow for that rah-rah. But you envision that trip, this isn't my time. The anticipation turns to aggravation. So when words of wisdom spoke, you hear blah, blah. Cause if that wise guy turns to a wise guy, I pray to God that that guy ain't on a high rise. And if he is, I hope the earth, he got nine lives. See, this is the type of life I seen with my eyes. Those boys whipping in the ghost fire on the 9 to 5, but no bow ties. Cause when Jay's on the street, you're solo, no lie. All black attire, shooting with a bow tie.
A time comes when silence is betrayal. Even when pressed by the demands of inner truth, men do not easily assume the task of opposing their government's policy, especially in time of war.
And watch a nigga kill another nigga. So one dead, one in jail, so soon there'll be no niggas. They scamming for the dough, nigga. I can't trust them, I don't know them. Them yo niggas, I need the source, they either leave or buy. Cause these niggas don't care if I breathe or die. So put your pride aside and let your wings fly. Don't be a middleman, be the man who supply. The definition of a boss, let it multiply. And if they oppose that, they all can die. Cause if they move fast, that's when them cautions fly. So I'd rather be alive than a homicide. Feel my spirit, see my girl and my mama cry. And all my niggas pouring liquor for the honor. I vow to be the realest without ever saying it. So serious, I ain't kidding, nigga, who you playing with?
Where are ranked on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the right of a human being in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary?
By any means necessary.
Fucking the same chick your man had last week. Now he's emotional, so now you got beef. Instead of him checking out who the hoe be, next thing you know, he let go free. To the chest. Now we gotta lay another brother down to rest. That wall getting full, cause y'all full of the bull. No more level up, cause all they do now is cool. 15 years old, not even in school. But he know mathematics better than you. A community that knows everything about you. But when it goes down, they don't know what to do. What type of sense is that? No clue. So instead of waiting for them, you make the first move. Instead of talk about the victim last night that got popped, or who the best on the block with the crack rock.
If there is anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer.
We're listening to a live broadcast of Coffee, Tea, and a Conversation with Dorothy Tillman. She should be coming off for a break in a minute at the top of the hour. If you're listening in online, you can always check a rebroadcast of this on Alderman Dorothy Tillman's group page, or Facebook page, or the Martin Luther King Republican page, also on Facebook. This is the Jim Lee Underground Radio Network. The number is 347-838-9825 for our network. But if you'd like to talk to the Alderman, it's 373-591-1690. We're about to go back to it right now. Thank you for listening.
7 p.m. on the new WBON AM 1690.
Live from the Xfinity Studios at WBON. You're listening to Coffee, Tea, and Conversation with Dorothy Tillman on Chicago's legendary WVON, The Talk of Chicago, 1690 AM.
Dr. King talks about that mountaintop experience, People talk about it. It's a great spirit feeling. We're going to do it right now, y'all. We're going to take a deep breath, and we're going to go on, and then we're scared to do it. Black. One more tap, y'all. Black. Even now, more so than ever before, I think what gets to me more than anything, people will use black folks to talk about racism and what's bothering them when they're scared to put black on their tongue and on their lips. And they play with it so much that what's going on with our black communities, people, is almost difficult to come over that and say, this is real racism that's going on in the black community. And this is what's happening to black folks. Because those people who would never in life want to be identified as black, use it for their convenience. They call it conveniently black. That's why I like Harold Washington. We're celebrating Harold Washington today. Tomorrow, his anniversary of his death. He died on November 25th. So we're celebrating him, and we're telling you that if you want to talk about Harold Washington, fine. We're trying to give you a concept and a time frame or how we really elected Harold, because I get so sick of folks saying, well, that'll never happen again. We were so together, and that's how we got Harold White. And they really don't know, and they be killing the spirit of people. They don't even know how Harold got elected. They do know at some point in time they got in it. We all got in it at different times. Harold Washington ran for office in the 70s. Dick Newhouse had ran. You know, a whole lot of things had taken place. And I talked in the early hours about how we went after Jane Byrne and how we began to mobilize and to organize and how we went to jail. I mean, we were going to jail every day. We were fighting for the schools, for models, and then we organized. We had almost every school in the city of Chicago mobilized under the parent equalizers, and it was equalizing the scales of education. What most folks don't know is that the parent equalizers, which grew out of the Mollison movement, was organized in Harold's conference room up there on Cottage Grove, right across the street from Leakes. And it's sad when you see that vacant lot, because everything that we have get destroyed so you don't have the landmarks. When you look at what happened to Harold's office in the neighborhood over there, that should have been a landmark. 79th Street, where we ran his political office out, that should have been a landmark. 63rd and Wentworth, where his senatorial office was, landmark. But what they do, they wipe everything away. You don't mention Harold no more in a context other than one little thing. And the same way with Metcalf and all the other folks, Dawson, all the people we've had, that's great. It's what have you done for me lately? And because you don't have a context from which to mobilize and organize, you begin to not understand. Harold Washington's election was from the ground up. It was not the top down. Oh, yes, we can do it again, and we will do it again. If people stop jumping in talking about, well, we'd never be organized. We weren't all together then. Some folks at Dorothy ought to be ashamed of herself going to jail. She ought to leave that woman alone. People said they ought to stop this and stop that. All the stuff we were doing at the Board of Education and CHA, we had some of our own people fighting us. Black folks were scared to wear buttons. They was hiding their buttons with the Harold Washington. They were on a plantation so deep they done went back on the plantation that they were scared to outward put their buttons together. But Harold had ran before. Harold, you know, you had a progressive movement here and you had an independent democratic movement in the city of Chicago. That stuff, Harold said he danced on the grave of a patroness. He didn't kill him. He just made him half sleep. And the thing of it is that when now you don't have anybody want to be independent or want to be an independent. I was an independent Democrat when I was committed because Harold took us all in as independent. These folks are so, all the time you see this when they're bobbing their heads up and down behind Rom or somebody. But we went in with a purpose. So Harold was not just there. It didn't just happen. I mean, then we mobilized, and I want to talk about power. People organize for work and welfare, for welfare and full employment rights, which is the group that we organized. We organized CBUC, Chicago Black United Community, because we pulled together an umbrella of people with all of our organizations together because we were fighting political and economic and all the other stuff. And independent, BIPPA was Independent Political Party. But we trained and had political education. We trained folks in classes and stuff to get them ready. And we began, and all these aldermen, there was no good. We began to put people all at their office and stuff. We began to put people in place to take their places, to work, to go in so Harold could have a team of people to go in with him. But the people were moving, and it was from the ground up. Now, Paranucleus was organized in Harold's, like I told you, in this conference room. But the people organized for welfare and full employment rights, Slim Coleman, Marion Stamps, Nancy Jefferson, Joe Banks, all of us from all over the city, we came together and we went in. Jane Byrne was still in. And we wanted to register people at public places because you could not register like you're doing now, like you can just go out and be deputy registered. We pioneered that. And we went in and we asked Chairman LaVale to allow us to register folks at the welfare office, at currency exchanges, at motor vehicle places, all the public places. And they kept telling us no. And I remember the day that Slim Coleman, myself, we met with Chairman LaVale. And it was heated in that room back there. And Chairman LaVale said, I said, no, we're not going to do that. And I remember I said, oh, Chairman LaVale, we just want to just register people. And he said, so we asked, could we do it at the welfare office? And he said, He looked at Slim and I, he told us, he said, yeah, you can do it. You got to have a table, you got to have chairs, and you got to have a van at every site. If we come through there and we don't find tables and we don't find chairs and a van, we're going to shut the sites down. And we said, oh, Chairman Lavelle, that's really hard what you're putting on us. How are we going to be able to maintain a site like that? He said, well, that's it, take it or leave it. If you don't take that, then I'm going to shut them down. So I said, okay, we have no choice. We went out there and slapped each other in the hand and started laughing. And we began to, we mobilized organizations. The Parent Equalizer took the welfare office on Pershing. Nancy Jefferson had a group. Everybody all over the city had groups that we took. Helen and all of them had. We just began Marion Stamps. We all took groups of Marion's on the north side of where we began to register people. And sometimes we didn't have a van sitting there, then what would happen was we saw them come. We just commandeered somebody's van. So we began to register people, and Harold was still in Congress, and we were still mobilizing, and Anna Langford was out there passing out little cards. Anna was running. She was the most serious candidate, and she wasn't afraid, and she was running, passing her cards out everywhere. And I remember so we began to move and move and move, and a whole lot of other stuff. Everybody talks about the meeting we had at Roberts, where we asked Harold what he's going to do and all that. Everybody put their little piece in it. And I just let folks do what they want to do, because half the folks be talking, don't know what they're talking about. Or they just talk about where they started from, and which confuses the black community. We can do this, y'all, if we want to do what we got to do, but it takes work. That's all. Don't let nobody make you think that we just all so messed up that we can't take control of our communities. We can take control of our community if we work at it. We don't have to have folks sitting there who don't work on our best interests, who are playing with us and standing around acting like a mouthpiece, going back to the way they was. We can do this, y'all. We can make, and it was the first time in the history that elected officials was answering to black people, because historically they never answered to the black community. They always answered to the machine bosses. They've gone back. So we have to got to figure out how to bring that back. So what we did, we had Harold out of dinner. So we was doing a whole lot of stuff. Streeter. We went and got Streeter because he had voted against he was on the education committee, and he was, because Jane Byrne had appointed him, he was working against us. Marion Stamps and I took him aboard. We cornered this man, and we took him across. He had to call the police on us. And we told him, no, you're not going to stand here and fight against the black community like this. And we weren't playing about that. And we said, now we'll tell you what, you stand up to Jane Byrne, we'll stand with you. And we came up with Georgia Palmer, came up with Streeter, Beater, Harold would defeat her. And we had those buttons, and we had Streeter running over there. Jane Byrne ran, somebody named Campbell, a bunch of folks ran. But Streeter did beat her, and Streeter began to be independent. So you had a lot of different movements going on. And at the power dinner we had, Harold came. And we said, don't it sure sound nice to say Mayor Washington? He was there. He didn't really want to get into it. He really didn't want to get into it. But we had a plebiscite, and I remember we was over there, and Harold said, it's the man, not the plan, not the man, you know, when he was talking all of that. But a lot of stuff happened, but a lot of people was involved. Trice and all of them on the west side was involved. It was just a lot of people involved in this grassroots movement, whereas we could have elected Mickey Mouse that year if we wanted to, because the community was in motion. And at that point, the decision was made to knock down those public housing, the concentration of power for black folks, they thought, the ones on State Street, the ones by the lake, the ones on the west side. There's, because those people rose up, you know, you hear Quinn Dixon all around, love you, Harold! Now, but what you have is there's no other race would have allowed that kind of concentration of power to be dispersed, because they don't understand power, economic power or political power. So they began to move on a full track. But Harold was elected by the people. So I'm going to play some Harold, and I'm going to the phone. Listen at this, y'all, Harold Washington. I'm going to play some of Harold, and we're going to play some Harold. I'm talking to my engineer over there. We're going to play some Harold, and I'm going to the phone.
Chicago, Chicago.
The machine that ran Chicago doesn't work anymore. Yet Jane Byrne and Richie Daley are still fighting over it. Harold Washington has a different plan.
But while they fight over that machine, I shall fight for Chicago by getting jobs and money from the state and federal government.
Harold Washington.
We can all win.
We can hold.
There was a time when you said Chicago, and someone would respond like a Pavlovian dog, segregation. Or you said Chicago, and people talked about the 1968 riots. Or said Chicago was where everyone went who didn't want to be anybody. But now, anywhere in the world you go, Israel, Egypt, Rome, Shanghai, Tokyo, Nairobi, Zimbabwe. Now, you go to any of those places and you say you're from Chicago, you know what they'll say to you?
How's Harold, y'all? That's what I'm talking about. He went down there for jobs and stuff because Harold had a mandate from the people. Harold had a mandate from this community. Don't let nobody keep killing your spirit. We can't do this. Oh, we ain't together. Like Harold, you don't even know how we came together, how many fights we had. I remember Conrad and I had such a big fight in Lou Palmer's bay over there at Lou Palmer's house. We all had fights and talking about stuff. We did a lot of stuff, and we came together for the good of our community. You listen to Top Chicago 69 WVON, our number 773-591-1690. We are streaming live at www.wvon.com. We're on iHeartRadio, we're on BlackPlanet.com, and we are also on Facebook and group Facebook for Dorothy Tillman. So I'm going to go to the phones, y'all. I hope y'all enjoying this. And kind of y'all, don't make it too long because I got some more stuff I want to play and some more teaching I want to give. Mama D.
Hallelujah, greetings. Know the truth, and it shall make you free. I suggest everyone wear that blue button tomorrow and give a Washington to Washington because a pyramid is powerful. Because
you know, it'd be good to give a Washington for Washington and Harold Washington. Go put some money over to Harold Washington. That's your Washington for Washington.
That's what it means. My question, could union busting and replacing we the people with corporation people to increase privatizing our government be the true reason for the mayor, the governor, and two former governors garnering support for state ID for alien drivers?
What I want to do, Mom, is stay on Harold Washington right now. We'll come back to that another time. We want to talk about Harold and what's going on politically, like with this. But, okay.
MamaDLove.com.
Thank you. MamaDLove.com. Thank you. I want to try to stay where we are. Georgia.
Good morning, Alderman Tillman.
Good morning. How you doing?
Thanksgiving.
You
know I'm calling about our mayor, the one that I told you they killed. Anyway, I'm calling because I remember what you just said. He said he walked on the grave of Patronage, and Patronage didn't answer. He called out to Patronage,
yeah,
and Patronage didn't answer. Well, I want to know why Patronage is still being business as usual in the county government, in the city government, and the state government.
Well, one of the things is that our people kind of still is giving up. Like, when you look down at city government, you'll find that most of the folks down there knew on the black side.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at Mel and Burke and all of them, they still there. And they kind of understand. And until people who are elected be more frightened of their constituency than they are the political bosses, you're going to always have a problem.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's going on right now.
And Patrick had a straw stuck up under the sand breathing a little air. And when they got rid of Harold, they just snatched him up and gave him resuscitation.
Right now.
Talk to you later.
Black, I love you.
I love you, too. Thank you. Say, how are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you feel today?
I feel fine.
And you sound like this.
Thank you, darling.
Dorothy, I didn't know that you were restricting our conversation, comments rather, just to Harold.
No, I said this morning I want to talk about Harold. If you want to talk about political empowerment,
okay,
or, and also if you want to mention the second issue, it's fine, but we want to stay here because we don't have so much time, and I want
right.
to get just, some of Harold's
All right, real quick then.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned once that you wanted to come to the Coalition of Veterans Organizations, and I wanted to follow up with that, see if you do, so I can try to make arrangements for you to come next month, which would be the third Saturday.
Well, I'll put you on hold and talk to Ebony.
The other, though, I want to recognize you for taking the high road regarding this Jesse Jr. thing, although you take an occasional dip. I love you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Love you, too. A Ken, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Alderman Tillman. Well, he just stole my thunder. I just related to Evan and how much I've always respected and loved you, Alderman Tillman.
Thank you.
Because I know you love black people, first of all. And I even love and respect you even more now for the same reason the gentleman just stated, brother just stated, that you took the high road. Even when others tried, attempted to call in and get you initiated the conversation for you to talk about Jesse Jr. and his time of, you know. And I respect and love you for that.
Thank you.
Now, let me just ask you this, Oliver Tillman. There was a young art student who wrote drew a disrespectful picture of Harold.
Yes.
Who were the aldermen, and I mean, what happened to these strong black aldermen that we had when you were in city council that went down and took that picture down?
Well, it was a group of us who went there. It was myself, Bobby, Ed Smith, Streeters, a few of us went over, and we negotiated. We was telling the art president over there at the Art Institute that we was not going to tolerate. They had dressed Harold in women clothing with a pencil and had his private into a pencil he had on garments, and it was the worst thing in the world. And he refused to take it. They was telling him that he had to take it down.
Mm.
So he wouldn't take it down. I snatched that sucker down and cut it up. I took up and I sliced all in it. So
Lord.
Then I got a little jailed. They called the police on me, and then the guy sued me for all his money. And I fought him. I didn't. I said he wanted an apology. But I said I wasn't going to do anything. So we fought him. Jim Chapman was our attorney, and we fought him. And I said I don't have the money here. I don't have no $1 million to give this man. So he said, "Well, I want our house. That's why I pitch a tent in Washington Park before I apologize for doing that." And the thing about it is that the community get all upset about other stuff out here. This mess.
Mm-hmm.
They should have swarmed down on the Art Institute and did something about it. But you know. A man like Harold come through and do all he can do, work 23 and a half to 24 hours. Then he go and folks go on back to their ways. That don't make no sense. What they said, Jesus gone away to his praying place, and the boys in his band gone back again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like Harold gone, gave up his life, and then they go back and do to the same thing. Yeah, that's that. And then so it was in the Reader, and after that, then the Reader published a painting of me, trying to show me in men underwears and long clothes and a machine gun.
Dorothy, let me tell you something before I go. I know you have a limited amount of time. You know, I want to ask you this question here. Which one is it worse? Because this is what I see now. People, our people, are either ashamed to say black or be black, admit they're black, or they're scared. Which one is the worst?
I don't know. They're almost equal, but being ashamed of who you are is just terrible.
Yeah, that's what means.
To be ashamed. But you know what makes me mad, Ken, is that, and we've seen a lot of this lately, is that those people who are ashamed and scared to say black,
mm-hmm.
then they will be conveniently black, use racism,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
when it's not really racism. And so what happens is, our legitimate concerns that we have in the black community, we want to deal with the racism that's going on in our community. People say, oh, that, there they go again. And the real people who wants to deal with the racism can't deal with it. I'm sorry. Y'all might not agree with me. Susan Rice, that's on her and them back there.
That's
for
right.
For us to be on this radio every day and them black women, them folks getting together calling it racism for minority and black women, hey, get on the radio, on the TV, and talk about the racism that's going on in the black community with unemployment, with housing, with the disproportionate education, incarceration. We need people to stand for that. Because when you use it like that and don't deal with the issues of the black people, economically, all these black folks who was in business don't have any money now to do business. There's a whole lot of things. That's the racism. The equality with the airways, the fact that we don't have a lot of television stations, don't have money for our radios. I mean, that's racism. Let's deal with the real deal, repairing the damage, not that mess of somebody don't want to put black on their lips.
Dorothy, you take me to school every Saturday morning.
Thank you. You got an A this morning, baby. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Take
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I will play out some more Harold Washington here just for a minute, and then I'm going to go back to the phone. I got some more Harold Washington for y'all.
How did we get to this place?
That was a movement. I'm not the movement. I'm just a point more person in the movement. That was a movement which builds up over a period of years. Became extremely discouraged with the kind of government that was given. Began to articulate in pockets of strength here and there and everywhere a desire for a change. And that movement reached a crescendo, catapulted me into office with a mandate to reform this city. I was told in no uncertain terms that the issue to be ferreted on out and the matter to be resolved was institutional corruption.
Yes.
You asked me to get rid of it as best I can. You asked me to stay on that case. You asked me to call you if I needed you. You told me you would be with me. The story is not told. There has been a systematic attempt to keep the story from being told, no matter what we do. What is institutional corruption? Institutional corruption is simply, for example, the ability of a small group of people to year after year after year get the hundreds and hundreds and millions of dollars of contracts for very few people in this city, a very few contractors, a very few professionals. That's what it's all about. Corruption is the ability year after year after year to hire certain groups of people to the exclusion of others, be they women, be they black, be they Hispanic. That's institutional corruption. Institutional corruption is the conflict of interest which exists even today in the city council, which we inherited, which permitted one alderman in the city council to get almost every workman's compensation case involving policemen in the city.
Day after day.
And you never read a word about it in the press. Institutional corruption permits a major chairman of a city council committee to sit in that committee and vote against an ordinance for the city and then go out and sue the city for not having an ordinance. That's what it is. Institutional corruption permits a powerful alderman to siphon off hundreds and hundreds and thousands of dollars to a member of his family practicing law who just got out of law school 2 days ago. Institutional corruption permits a powerful alderman to just take an alley belonging to the city and build his damn house on it. Institutional corruption permits this same alderman to look out over into O'Hare Field and say, I see something I want, and the next day he's got a popcorn concession. Yes. Institutional corruption permits aldermen in the city council to hire members of their family. Nepotism gone wild. And the press just says, naughty, 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 naughty. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's institutional corruption. Put that on TV. Yeah. Institutional corruption is a past mayor without consent of council or any other color of law loaning $20 million to a contractor with no means of paying it back. And nothing is said by anybody, including the press, for 3 years. And then the contractor winds up dead. What manner of a city is it? What manner of a city is it? I come into office. One of the first things I do is sign an executive order. Freedom of information. Y'all come. It's here. Year after year, the files are there, the archives of dusty. Look at them. If you want to see what Daley did, look. If you want to see what Blandy did, look. If you want to see what Byrne did, look. Did they look? No. But you know what they can do? They can put 5 reporters out in front of City Hall to see what time I come to work every day.
to end here. And the reason I want to end is because we've got about 2,000 monitors in here. Go home tonight and see how much of this you see on the 10 o'clock news.
Pause it. That's Harold, y'all. That's from my personal collection. That was at Quinn Chapel when we put together the big rally. Y'all remember that big rally that we put together when they kept messing with Harold, trying to make him be like he was involved in some kind of corruption? Not true. Look, y'all, we can do this. I don't want y'all to think that we can. I've been telling y'all about the election of Harold Washington, and I got you to Powell. And then we moved on, and we still was mobilizing, organizing, going to jail every day, y'all. Harold Washington, truth be told, was bailing us out. He sent Sam Patch or some of them over there with some money to get us out of jail. He said, "Damn, Dorothy, how long you gonna keep this up?" I said, "Until we win, and not necessarily about winning the seat at that point, because he was congressman, but it was about we was fighting the school." And I remember Jane Byrne saying, "I think she's doing that to elect Harold Washington mayor of the city." But we really wasn't. We were fighting on behalf of black people because we wasn't clear who we were going to select for that seat at that time. That's why we did the plebiscite. And it was, we really came together, y'all. We can do it again. Not that we can. We must do it again. When you have a mayor talking about he's going to close almost 200 schools in our community and our leadership is being quiet, something is wrong with that. When you walk downtown in City Hall and it's almost back where it was, where you don't find no black folks hardly down there, you look at the contracts, and even now, like Mr. Gardner was out there fighting for these jobs. These folks going back to what they were doing. They still out here working in our community, and no black folks are working. One person can't do it, but we got to move up and keep moving. What they do now is when we put a movement together, they send folks in to squash it. And that's why you got to have the grassroots ground up. And, you know, y'all, we don't have to all agree on everything, but we can agree on one thing, and that's the liberation of black people. And then, so we had a meeting on the west side. I remember Nate Clay called us over there, and a group of us were meeting over there in that basement. Nancy Jefferson was there. We can't say too much about her. Sweet God, rest her soul. And Mr. Gray was talking about Nate, said we was going to do Come Alive October 5. Mr. Gardner was going to get involved. So we came alive October 5. Mr. Gardner's first business, he was out there putting out his money and his time out there for Coming Alive October 5. Our registration had already began under Powell at these welfare offices. So when you began to register people, debit to register, remember that meeting that we had, Jane Byrne, to get this stuff rolling. And Jane Byrne, Fire Chairman Lavelle, she blamed him for Harold Washington winning up until today, because she said if he had not given in to Slim and all of us about registering people at the welfare office, this movement wouldn't have taken off about registration. And a lot of other internal stuff went on that I'm not necessarily talking about. Our meeting when we went to Roberts and all the other things and the struggle that we did. But the important thing is that we all came together. Like I told you, I had not been to push this. First it started Operation Breadbasket, which came from down south. And one year we're going to talk about Operation Breadbasket. A group of ministers in the south organized Breadbasket because they wanted to give everybody a job so they could have food on their plates and boycott those folks who did not hire black folks. But that's a whole other thing. So I had not been over there, but for us to all go in, Joe Gardner took us in there. We all went in because we were all trying to work together as a community. And we did it. And we can do it again. Don't let people keep talking all this negative stuff to you and keep you hyperventilating on some stuff that's irrelevant. We can do it as a people. I know we can. Plano, how you doing this morning? Mark?
Good morning, Alderman.
Is this Mark?
Yes.
Okay, how you doing, Mark?
I'm good. Alderman, December 1st, next Saturday, we have a mass meeting to talk about this mayor knocking these houses down, and I'm pretty sure that Harold Washington wouldn't have wanted to see that.
No, he's knocking them down. I don't know how these people, that's what I'm saying, leadership sitting there, and this man is trying to disperse, and when you look at how they did the remap, they're already doing it where most of these black walls will become white, and they're knocking down a lot of houses. Leadership need to, in those communities, those houses being knocked down, need to take a stand. The leadership in those communities, where those stores, where those schools are coming, being closed. They need to do something, Mark. You got to
We're getting ready to do something about it. We're having a very at the Ice Theater right at Holman and Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to have a big meeting there next Saturday to stop them from knocking these houses down. I mean, it's going to be a mass meeting. We're even asking Rahm Emanuel to come out because, you know, we want to hear his position.
Have you talked to the aldermen in the wards?
We talked to the aldermen and definitely demanded that they.
I mean,
for
we got to.
For
they got to
knocking these buildings down.
Yeah, all at least what I say, Mark, is that the federal, the state, and the city leadership
mm-hmm.
in these areas got to
mm-hmm.
come together and stand up and fight back for black for our communities. Because in the other communities, whether it's Hispanic or white, they are fighting for their community. They got to fight about these houses, about these schools, incarceration, about unemployment, a lot of stuff. I think
mm-hmm.
we can do it. I don't believe that it's all over for us.
Oh, no. It's never over for us because, and I won't just call it a men's meeting, even though men definitely need to meet. We call it on the entire community, even children, next Saturday at Ice Theater to demand it.
What time are you
going to
be there, Mom?
Knocking these buildings down. It's 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Saturday, and to also address the issue on how the destruction of our community is directly tied into death and destruction, the elimination of a public education. This is going to be a holistic approach, and we're getting ready to raise up and stand strong.
And I tell you what, Mark, I'm still seeing all these white folks, all these folks working in our community in this construction site. Something wrong with that. They still out here working, and we still not working.
Well, Alderman, if we don't address the issue of zoning and permits,
uh-huh.
then they're going to continue to work.
Well, you know now. You know I know what to do about that. And that's in the hands of your local official. Thank you so much. I tell you. Plano?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, black.
All the way
black. Sister Tim, I love you so much. I'm just listening to Harold. It just mesmerized me. Just listen to what he was. I handled those Burke and Badolak and them and all them males and all them days. And why is it taking these?
Well, he was able to do it because the power of the people that invested the power in him. Even the aldermen, the state rep, every black elected official was the first time they ever in the history of Chicago
mm-hmm.
was more frightened of their constituency than they was the machine. So
mm-hmm.
what the people have to become in power and stop looking for other folks, and you got to just start moving toward empowering people. We can do this again. It didn't come from the top down. It came from the bottom up.
But my thing is, the aldermen need to know what the manual is doing.
But you keep saying that, and I'm going to say it again. Power comes from the bottom up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we got to do. You see these other folks mobilizing their communities, we got to mobilize our communities.
I don't want to ramble.
I want to go to this next call because I want to play some more Harold Washington. I'm almost out of time.
Okay.
All right. Okay, Michelle.
Hey, Miss Dorothy Taylor.
Hi.
You know what I love most about you?
What, baby?
Your dark blackness. It's just so beautiful. It's so beautiful. You know, you really do know how to use your power, Dorothy. And I appreciate
power's
that.
In the people.
You.
All power's in the people. And folks don't understand. I tell folks, even when you're in office, you're there to serve. You're not there to be served.
And you're
only as powerful you empower your community. If you put all the power in yourself, then the community just go away.
And that's what you do using mass communication. That's what I love you so much.
Thank you so
Can
much.
You please continue this Harold Washington series? I know
okay,
that
I'm
going
to try to play some more today. I'm going to take a couple more calls and try to
play
some more.
I don't mean just today. Let me tell you what Mr. Harold Washington did for me. He woke me up. He got me involved in politics, Dorothy Tillman. He made me proud to be dark black.
Yeah.
Harold Washington had a backbone. He made men look good, didn't he?
You know, Michelle, Harold Washington was able to be stronger. We were strong. And one thing Harold said is that to love black people don't mean you hate anybody else. And when we elect these people who are afraid to love black folks, then we're not getting anything. Like I said, we're electing people that make us feel good, and we're not getting the goods.
And that's why I called, just to say thank you for that. Please extend this beyond today.
I might.
And,
I'm going to try to do
I'm
it. Okay.
Sure that it will encourage more black men to stand up with their backbone. They got to.
Thank you. I'm going to play some more. This is out of my personal collection. I'm going to play some more in a minute. I'm going to take two more calls real quick and try to play some more before I go off the air. Okay. Mary. Hello?
Hello, is this for Mary?
Yes.
All right.
this is, I just want to say what I remember about then State Representative Harold Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And before we got busy as volunteers in activism, we had to go for education. And so we had classes on Saturday over at Malcolm X Junior College. You may remember. And that was when Danny Davis was alderman, and we were exposed to, of course, Lou Palmer, who was there teaching. And just so you know that this is actual, I often talk to you about our time at the pool party at South Thomas.
Mm-hmm.
So you know who this is.
Mm-hmm. I know.
But
who
I want
is.
To say that.
I know. I remember. See, a lot of folks did a lot of things, and the class you're talking about at Malcolm X was an extension of our Black Political Independent Political Organization, BIPPO, that we founded, and we was teaching political education.
And so people, you need to understand, before you get active, you gotta know something. You gotta learn.
Yeah.
And that's the piece I think is missing too often from too many of our activists right now. But thank you so much, Alderman.
Thank you so much. Yeah, the pool party, and we was getting together. We did a lot of stuff, y'all. Black, look, we was doing it. But we also had our clubs. We went around to the clubs, and we talked to people, went to the pool hall. What they've done is systematically try to destroy everything that we use to mobilize our people. Susan.
Yes, good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
I'm fine.
I guess you're fine. You're sounding good.
Thank you so much.
I'm listening to the comments of our own. Well, he was really the only mayor that Chicago ever had.
That's
the
right.
Only worthwhile mayor that Chicago
because
ever had.
He was the one that opened up the doors and included everybody.
He was the one and only. And as I was listening, I was contrasting him to the small opportunistic person that calls himself the mayor today. The only thing that he's about, that the Israeli citizen, the only thing that he's about is photo opportunities. He uses the Black community for photo opportunities.
But you
and
know what,
last,
Susan? It's not
what?
Just the mayor. To be unfair to say it's just Americans. When you look at all the politicals, when you look at the governor, everybody, what's happening, everybody around, when Harold was here, they was afraid to use the Black community. Everybody needs
oh,
us to
yes.
get elected, but then they make us
oh, yes.
feel good and don't give us none of the goods.
Yes, well, recently there were many people that were looking for out of work that were calling WBON and talking about it. So he ran and he put on a sham over at
the
Kennedy King College, the job fair, and had all of those people standing out there for hours and hours and hours. And the whole thing was a job, was a photo opportunity for him. It was a sham. They only came out there. They didn't have anybody recruiting. They just passed them out literature and told them to go home and get online.
Well, I think politically, Susan, we got to get politically sophisticated, not just from the mayoral seat, but from all the way across. We got to stop letting folks use us to get elected and then turn their back on us.
Elected from Black people.
Yeah, Black folks thought he was Black folks voted for him because of Barack, because of the president.
Everybody I knew not to vote for him.
Right.
I had one woman tell me, "Oh, he's got some nice bedroom eyes."
Well, Susan, I gotta go play some more Harold Washington. Black
all
folks
right.
voted for him because of President Obama. That's why they did it. That's why they did it. We're going to play some more Harold Washington.
He's using the black community as photo.
Yes, everybody using us. We got to stop being used. We got to stand up and fight. Thank you. Everybody use us. They come use us. They use our churches, use us. They treat us like skanks. We ain't no skanks. A little bit more Harold Washington before time for us to leave.
Anybody from the media here tonight? Don't you misquote me. I'll whip your ass tonight.
Now, y'all hear that fired up? We started to fire up. Then you heard our president say they got to pick up New Orleans somewhere. It came from us.
They think we're disorganized.
Fired up came from us, y'all.
They think we're
acting. From New Orleans.
They think we're discouraged. That's not true.
I just said fired up came from us. Nope.
And don't let that sink in because it's not true. Don't be overly impressed with what you read in the newspaper.
That's right.
Everybody in here is against crime. I'm against crime.
Mm-hmm.
Individual thievery. I'm against conflict of interest. I'm against stupidity. I'm against poor judgment. We wipe that stuff out every day.
Right.
We fire people every day for doing wrong. We suspend them. We don't run to the newspapers and make headlines out of it. If I find individual corruption, we get rid of it. We're going to continue to do that. But that's not what this issue is about. That's not what it's about at all. They are about the business of trying to stop me from wiping out institutional corruption.
Mm-hmm.
that goes deep, 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 deep down into the bowels of the city. That's what they don't want to knock out. You know what's got them worried? What's got them worried is the fact that when I came into office, decision-making positions that were only about 8% black, and now I was 40% black. What's got them worried is when I came into office, minorities were only getting about 5% of all the contractual services of the city in the tune of about $600 million. We passed an executive order putting a minimum of 30, and now it's up to 35% and going higher. That's what they're worried about. You know what they're worried about? They're worried about us getting someone on a park district so we can take that budget of $600 million and clean up these parks. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about us putting people on the Port Authority who will make the Port Authority a port with freight coming in there and stevedores working and merchandise coming in there. That's what they're worried about. They're worried about us putting people on a library board who will build a library downtown instead of bumming around with it. They are worried about us putting people on a community college board who will make certain that we get a fair share of black presidents of these schools, black contractors spending that money, black people, architects, engineers, lawyers, accountants, day workers. That's what they're worried about. That's exactly what they're worried about. And they got a reason to worry. Because I made it clear that we're going to divide that stuff up and divide it up equally and fairly. When I came into office, you couldn't find a woman making a decision in this government if you went around with a microphone.
I tell y'all, they're worried about us. They're worried about us. They're worried about us. They're worried about us. That's Harold, y'all. I'm going to try to place them up for y'all another time. But they're worried about us. Anytime you had 47% black folks in education, and we only have 19% now, black people, black teachers, 19%, and we only have 1% black men, and when they close the school, you're going to be lucky if you get 3%. We don't have that many folks in government that's working now. We don't have that many folks anywhere. You walk downtown, you think black folks ain't even in this city. Yes, they was worried. They got rid of them. And now they want to disperse us before we understand our power. We have the power. I'm tired of folks coming on the air saying what we can and cannot do. Harold Washington was elected by the people mobilizing, organizing, coming together in spite of what we felt about each other, but for the good of the black community. We can do this, y'all. We must do this. And look, elected officials, those of you listening to me on Saturday, and I know a lot of y'all tell me you're listening. You are elected to serve and represent black people, if that's your constituency. Whatever your constituency is, that's what you're supposed to do. Don't be frightened. You need to come together, and I'm begging and calling on you, those of you in those areas that have school closing, to have a community meeting and discuss that. They had that one little thing up north there. They all went running up there hollering about his constituency. You work for the community. Black folks was representing every piece of land that was vacant in this city was represented by a black alderman, a black rep, black congressman. I said to those aldermen, we got the power because we got the land. Power is always in the land. And they began to move real fast on us. You still got the power. I have faith in you. Don't worry. We got to say, just like we told Streeter beat her, Harold would defeat her, we got to empower you. Your power is from the people. I've enjoyed you. I don't think I have. Do I have any time to take one more call? I don't think I have time to take one call. 30 seconds, Barbara, and then I got to go. 30 seconds. Barbara, 30 seconds.
Yeah, okay.
30 Barbara, seconds, I got to go.
Barbara in Cobra.
30 seconds.
Harold Washington. Harold Washington was the man. We are thankful. At the meeting on Sunday, tomorrow, November 25th, we would talk about how we are thankful, how spirituality is helpful in our quest for human rights, reparation, and how we should be thankful for the work that our ancestors have done. Because Harold Washington did work. I had an organization called Real Friends, and he came out and supported us.
Okay, Barbara. Thank you so much. You called kind of late. Reparations now. Send a letter to the president. Repair the damages for the descendants of enslaved Africans in America. Thank y'all so much for listening to that. I certainly have enjoyed you to talk about Harold Washington and talk about the liberation of black people. I am tired of black folks being conveniently black, talking about racism when it conveniently helped them. but they are scared to put blacks on their tongue, and it make it difficult for the grassroots to back November 6th when and punch that button and make sure that our president was reelected. Now walk around and feel good. We don't want to just feel good. We want some of the good. See you next Saturday. Reparations down.
Good night, everybody.